A0011.
Are we ready for Jim? Okay. Jim. Thank you, Jim.
Next is 1A010, an amendment by Supervisors Johnson, Romo West, and Lipscomb.
Okay. Pardon me? It's the one without the holes. No, we're going to 10. We're going to 10. I'm sorry. 1A0.
Which I think you
one
said
zero.
11.
I said 11, but I'm changing it to 10.
And then you're right, there's two called 10. So you want the one without the holes.
The one without the holes.
Without the holes.
Oh, okay. Mr. Cady, would you explain 10, please? Yes.
Summary.
Pardon me? Yeah, she can do that. Pardon me. Yeah, pardon me. Committee members, we have the actual amendment, and we also have a super amendment summary. If you would, ma'am, explain these using the super, the sheriff super amendment summary to give us a sense of what we had before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, supervisors. There's this super amendment summary to go along with the amendment to the sheriff's budget largely. The summary is a breakdown basically of the individual actions that are taking place within this larger amendment. It has essentially 12 parts to it. And if you will look through the summary, each one is broken up as Amendment 1 through 12 to explain which each portion of this larger document is actually doing. So there are a lot of moving parts, but the summary is to help, you know, clarify, like, the first part of the amendment is doing this. The second part is doing this. For example, the first part of this amendment is to, as opposed to abolishing the positions as recommended in the 2014 recommended budget, it is unfunding the command staff positions within the Sheriff's Department.
Supervisor Cohen?
I guess I would ask staff to just go walk everyone through your summary so that everyone here in the public knows what's in it. I think that's important.
Not a problem, Mr. Chairman. So if we would begin with the first page of the super amendment, the first amendment that's taking place is it's deleting language stating that the first portion says that all currently authorized unfunded deputy sheriff captains, that language is stricken, and sheriff lieutenant positions are abolished in 2014, so that the only staffing levels indicated for 2014 in the personnel summary table at the end of the narrative are authorized. There is a line highlighted stating, in 2014, six FTE deputy sheriff captain positions are unfunded. Further, 1.1 FTE sheriff department bureau director, deputy inspector, and 1 FTE facility administrator inspector positions are unfunded as opposed to being abolished. And this would have a zero tax levy impact. Do you have further questions on the first part?
Yeah, he wants
keep
to
going
go through.
Through all
oh,
yeah.
Keep going.
Just go second part. Third.
Okay. The second portion of the amendment 2, so to speak, That would be deleting the 12 newly created deputy lieutenant positions and restoring 12 of the deputy sheriff sergeant positions that were originally abolished. So it restores 12 of the sergeant positions with that language. Moving on to the third amendment.
That text on the input, is it up or down?
That is, it's up for the sergeant positions.
So people were down, you put it in brackets?
That's correct. Yeah. The language that's in brackets are down. My apologies. Going forward, Amendment 3 restores emergency management, 911 communications, and the training academy back to the control of the office of the sheriff. And that includes, that restoration includes funding for 2 FTE deputy sheriffs, 2 correction officers, and 1 clerical assistant, too. And that has a tax levy impact of $3,767,555 up. Amendment 4 moves on to the expressway patrol area, and it reduces the citation revenues within the expressway's patrol unit to by $217,763.
Part 5.
This
top of the second page.
We're on page 4 of the super.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Is this the proper time to ask for explanation of an amendment? I need an explanation of an amendment.
Let her go through
okay.
the different parts, and then questions may be asked. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment 5 just transfers the training academy back to the control of the sheriff's office. Amendment 6 deletes all of the language in the narrative regarding the newly created org unit 4800 for the Department of Emergency Preparedness. It basically removes that newly created department and restores those responsibilities back to the office of the sheriff, funding included. Amendment 7. This
tax
was.
Tax levy impact,
ma'am. Oh, my apologies. The tax levy impact would be a tax levy downer of $3,861,464. Amendment 7, it increases the salary and Social Security funding within the court security unit by $600,000. This recommendation actually came from DAS Fiscal to assist in filling some of the budget preparation shortfalls. So that appropriation of an increase in $600,000 was recommended to us. And to offset it, reducing funding provided in the critical maintenance work in 911 communications dispatch from $500,000 to $400,000 within the appropriations for contingencies fund. So it would basically take that down $100,000. So that has a tax levy impact of minus $100,000, whereas the tax levy impact of the $600,000 upper is Amendment 8 restores the apprehension and absconder unit back to the criminal investigations department or unit of the sheriff's department, and that would have a tax levy impact of $546,384. And Amendment 9 partners with that on the district attorney's office side. That would it's basically transferring the appropriations made to the DA's office back to the sheriff's. And that would have a negative tax levy impact for the district attorney's office of $551,164. Amendment 10 moves on to the Park Patrol and Tactical Enforcement Unit. It would fund an additional 7 deputy sheriffs to continue Parks Patrol and TEU services, and it removes the language that referred to Milwaukee Police Department and other municipal law enforcement agencies from receiving funds to patrol the parks. And that would have a tax levy upper of $631,176, and that's mainly to accommodate for those 7 additional deputies that have been added. Amendment 11 is within the Org Unit 9000 Parks Department, and that is basically to removing language regarding the same thing, Milwaukee Police Department, Parks Patrol. It does not have a tax levy impact. And Amendment 12 comes from Org Unit, it was 1975, but it's within the non-departmental expenditures, and that has to do with the unit on law enforcement grants. It removes the language and the funding that was given towards the MPD Parks Patrol, as well as the funding allocated to the other municipalities' law enforcement agencies. That amount was $180,000. The amount that was appropriated to MPD was $965,000, roughly. And it's basically removing that funding to go back. But it's also for the spot shotter system that was recommended. $350,000 was originally appropriated within the recommended budget. We're reducing that by half to $175,000, with the other $175,000 is proposed to be matched by another agency. So they will share in half of the cost of that system. And that total for Amendment 12 has a tax levy downer of $1,320 to $320,201.
Thank you. Supervisor Stamper.
Why are we, I don't know who put that in there, but why, whoever put that in there, why did they put that in there?
To reduce the citations revenues within the Expressway Patrol Unit by $217,763. That's your question? Supervisor
Chair, I'll do my best. I think without the adjustment on revenues there, you would have actually had an amendment that would have reduced the funding to the department. The amendment already has positions where we've unfunded positions, and so I think that would have been an additional cut to the sheriff's department. And the idea here was to bring in an amendment that was at zero, and that was one of the ways we could even it out a little bit. Obviously, it provides a little latitude if they are in fact able to hit the higher revenue targets. They would have the money to pay for some of the unfunded positions, but that's the best I can do, I think.
Supervisor Cullen.
I had a question on a different topic.
Are you finished? Yeah.
Katie, could you expound, please? Was that it?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I think one of the other things that's also happening here in the sheriff's requested budget, the sheriff asked for a considerable increase in the number of deputies patrolling the expressway. That was partially offset by a rather large increase in citation revenue that would be anticipated from that staffing increase. At the recommended level, the number of deputies was reduced back to this year, but the citation revenue was never changed. And therefore, it was concerns that rate citation revenue was a little too high given the staffing pattern that would be in place for 2014.
Thank you. Supervisor Coleman?
I had a question maybe of the drafter on the item relating to ShotSpotter. Because it says we would provide $175,000 to match an equal contribution. I don't know how clear that is. I mean, I've heard things from the city. I've heard complaints from the city that, you know, they provide police officers on the buses and they don't charge us, and maybe they could just sort of do that as an in-kind contribution, for lack of a better term. Do we know that if we put this money in, the $175,000 is going to be actual dollars coming from the city to match this for $175,000 based on the language that's in here?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, the understanding with that language, originally the city, yes, did express that they were committed to the $175,000 match. However, we wanted to make the language open enough that if other sources, other municipalities, agencies, who have you, would like to contribute, then we could leave that open and have more than just it set to the city.
I don't have any objections to that, per se, but I just wondered if the city would send the county a bill for $175,000 and say, here's the money we're spending on police officers on the buses, and that's how we're funding ShotSpotter. Would they be able to do that with this language? Anybody know? I mean, I
Dr. Colton?
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. I just want to make it clear the city had never agreed to a matching contribution, so this other $175,000 is unfunded at the moment.
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Roman West.
The Chairwoman has had extensive conversations with the President of the Common Council, Alderman Willie Hines, who has agreed that the city will do matching funds.
Thank you, Supervisor. Was that understood? From the conversations of the chairwoman and the Common Council President, that there would be a matching of $175,000. Such discussions have occurred. Mm-hmm. Supervisor Cullen?
Well, and maybe staff can explain to me, Josh, how this logistically works. So if this is put in the budget like this, when does this $175,000 get released? To whom does it get released? And does it only get released when we know that the other $175,000 has come from another entity, whether it be the City of Milwaukee, City of Wauwatosa, or a generous benefactor?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I guess I'll do my best. I believe the intent, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that once the matching funding of the other $175,000 was identified, whether it was from the City of Milwaukee or whatever else, then a fund transfer or something would happen so that we basically either write the check to that entity, or maybe they write a check to us and we write the check for the whole thing. So it would probably flow through the fund transfer process, I believe.
Well, I have no real objection to this, but maybe between now and budget adoption time, maybe someone can look at this language and we'll know more about what the city's done, right, by then? I mean, we'll know if the aldermen and the mayor have put this in their budget, right? They're doing their budget. And if they haven't appropriated $175,000 for this, then we'll know if we should be doing it. So I would just hope we could tighten up this language a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I support the amendment to move forward, but it's something I want to look at.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Jersey?
I'm going to ask that we take separate action on all these amendments.
We can't do that, ma'am. An amendment is whole.
we can either approve the amendment or we can vote the amendment down.
Some of us in a strange spot, maybe I'll speak for myself. I mean, I can certainly support quite a few of these, but I'm in a position where you're going to make me vote up or down on some things that I either support or don't support. Yeah. And I maybe understand why all this is put together, because it was kind of pulled apart in all different places by the administration. So I won't criticize my colleagues, but the clarification that we just had in the offer, I mean, it went amendment by amendment. I think that would be pretty easy to do by just allowing us to have a vote on each one.
No, Supervisor, the what you see as amendment 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, it's a part of the explanation regarding the amendment itself.
I'm
the
just amendment asking, why not vote on each one?
We cannot do that because the amendment is actually this document. We cannot separate an amendment. We cannot ask for separate action on an amendment.
We do take separate actions on amendments.
Well, what can happen is that another amendment, we have still some time for amendments to be created, and if this passes, then those amendments would be offered as substitutes for this amendment. That's the process.
Yeah. All right, I'll accept the chair.
Supervisor Schmidt.
And that answers my question, too. I think I had the same question. I don't know if everybody's perfectly happy with every single part of this, but I think the language doesn't need to be typed. I appreciate was talking to colleagues and on this, too, and it's kind of hard to get everything which everybody wants and agree on completely, but I think there is a chance to look, especially when you see the language. I couldn't agree more on the I think it's a dispatcher one is a difficult one. It's been pointed out. I think it's easier for the city, which is everything is in the city, and in areas that I appreciate need some extra help. But again, we're asking in other areas that do not benefit from this than suburban representation to finance this. And I find that a little difficult. I'm willing to compromise because I think this is something that has been. Seems to have a track record of some success. I think it's needed. I would bring in something different, or I will not vote for it in the last analysis unless that indeed that language. I've heard conversations too. I did talk to our chairwoman. I think a lot of us have had the opportunity to talk to our finance chairs, and the chairwoman said, "Well, if we match it, would you be platable to this?" I want to know that indeed it is matched. I think I haven't heard anything or seen anything on paper that indeed it is. I like the option, the fact that maybe we can aggressively go after some private funding then, too. That could substitute for the city's responsibility. So I'll wait to hold on that. But I think it's an amendment that there is some strong consensus on that we've talked about at length. And therefore, at this time, I think I will support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you.
Supervisor Stamp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to add that language for clarity into the amendment. The who, the when, how it will be administered, and if not administered or not matched, it would be returned back to Milwaukee County. So I don't know if that's appropriate now or before budget day, but I would like that language for clarity into the amendment. What is that?
Mr. Chairman. To the extent that Supervisor Stamper would like an alternative amendment, staff would be happy to draft one for him.
Okay, thank you.
That could be considered at another hearing.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Sure.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did not see language in here about the airport patrol. I was wondering if the co-sponsors have that in this super amendment, or if that would be put back in.
That's Supervisor Mr. Cady, as opposed to Supervisor Lipscomb.
It is not included in this amendment. It would need to come as a separate amendment if people are interested in that. This was an attempt at pulling together a number of issues that there seemed to be some consensus for. So I would move approval of 1A010 at this time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Any other comments on Amendment 18?
Mr. Chair, could I clarify? So that if there was an amendment on airport, that would not be a substitute for this one. It would stand alone because it does not affect any of the items that are touched in this amendment.
Mr. Gates.
Mr. Chairman, if there was an amendment to increase the staffing pattern at the airport above the budgeted levels, certainly that could be done as a standalone.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Roman-West.
Thank you. The seven positions that we are discussing, actually, it's tax levy neutral. The sheriff had requested that those positions be added back. And I had actually talked to Ms. Jans McKnight about it.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, they're not necessarily tax levy neutral.
Okay.
You can a budget is just an estimate of how much services the airport will consume in 2014. And to the extent that the airport is consuming less security services, they will then only reimburse the sheriff's department for the actual staffing pattern that is deployed there. So if you add extra deputies that are not, but you fund them at the front end, but the airport doesn't provide the revenue at the back end, then you have a shortfall. So they are not necessarily tax levy neutral.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just say, I'm a little disappointed with the communication that I'm receiving, and I do understand that we only have, we have three research analysts, four research analysts, two active research analysts. But I personally would appreciate more conversation. I don't appreciate finding out things while I'm sitting at the table. I don't appreciate finding out the things that I've asked to be done or not done. And I don't appreciate finding out about amendments from my colleagues that are counter to something that I'm trying to put forward as I'm sitting at the table. I think it's counterproductive. And in the future, I know that everybody's working as best as they can, but I think the communication really needs to be better. In addition, on this particular amendment, I didn't realize that I was not the author. So I have been answering questions from the media regarding this amendment because I was not informed that I knew that there were other interested co-sponsors, but I did not realize that I was not being listed as the author. So just for the record, I want to state that. And again, it's disappointing to find that out as I sit here at the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Dr. Colton.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. This year we heard, as opposed to last year, many supervisors who said that indeed their local police departments do patrol the parks and the sheriff does not. So it's really shocking to see this amendment that funds the sheriff's department to do something they have not done in the past and have made no commitment to doing in the future. And the funding that we gave to municipalities to acknowledge that they are patrolling the parks, that $10,000 and help us collect data has been taken out. So there's no acknowledgement of their work, even though supervisors have acknowledged that they are doing the work.
Mr. Chair?
Supervisor Cullen, Supervisor Sam.
Thank you.
I know that there are representatives from the sheriff's office here, and I guess I don't necessarily want to get into this on every amendment, but I would be interested if someone from the sheriff's department had any brief comments that they could share with us on this amendment as opposed to the county executive's budget and whether they think this will help them serve the public safety needs better than what the county executive proposed. That might be helpful.
Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. Chair. I had the same request. I would like to hear from inspectors and my request on the actual activity and patrol, specifically my parks, but you may want to ask for your parks. And that's something I requested from 2012. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The sheriff, Mr. Chairman.
For me? Supervisor Taylor and Supervisor DeRomois, did you want to make a
The representative from the executive's office talked about the municipalities, there's a flaw with you when you have $180,000 and you're just going to divide it up amongst those communities. How can you compare a community like Franklin that's 34 and a half square miles and compare it to, let's say, Hales Corners or River Hills or some of these smaller communities? I mean, where was the input from the municipalities? We just threw out a dollar amount and said, well, last year's didn't fly because the average was going to be maybe $5,000 and $6,000. And this year, well, we're going to increase that so each community gets $10,000. Once again, I think this was not very well thought out. And if I recall, last year we asked the Sheriff's Department to patrol these. He gave us his word. He provided data that said he did fulfill his word. And once again, we flew us up the flagpole, but didn't talk to any municipality besides the city of Milwaukee, to the best of my knowledge. And, you know, little conversations passing through the halls at an ICC meeting does not count. What about the policymakers of each of those municipalities? That's the issue that we have here.
Supervisor Romo West and Dr. Colton.
I do want to say that the Sheriff's Department did provide each county supervisor with a map and with some information regarding their district. And again, I just want to say that for District 12, we have seen an increase, and I cannot put into words the difference between last summer and this summer, specifically again in Kosciuszko Park, where we had a lot of issues last year, and the lack of presence by the sheriff was noticeable, and this year it is increased. I had hoped that we wouldn't be having this discussion regarding MPD versus the sheriff again this year, seeing that there was such unanimous support for keeping these services within the sheriff's office this last year. So why I don't understand why we're having that conversation this year. MPD does patrol the parks. They'll drive through on their way to another hitch or if they have downtime. But in my district, I'm telling you that that District 2 just doesn't have downtime like that. So they're not making they're not making Park Patrol an active part of their routine. Do they call? If I called 911 from the park and said, hey, I need you, will they come? Absolutely. But the same thing, I can say the same thing with the sheriff's dispatch. If for those neighbors who I have given the sheriff's dispatch number two, they're very satisfied with the service that they get from the sheriff. And I can speak specifically on Walker Square Park neighborhood in that aspect. They know the names of those deputies, and they will call the deputies, and the deputies come. And they're very happy with the service that they're receiving from the sheriff's department. The same cannot be said for my entire district, again, regarding MPD. And I love MPD. I appreciate the work that they do. I work with them on a very close basis. But they're drowning. I mean, they have so much to do. And I don't want to say solving real crimes, because we do have some real crimes that happen in the parks. They have so much other things on their plate that to give, the municipalities $10,000 or the city of Milwaukee, to allot them money to do stuff either on overtime or on downtime, to me doesn't make sense when I know that at least in my district I'm already getting that service. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Supervisor. Next, Dr. Colton, then Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. To respond to Supervisor Roma West's question, the reason you're seeing this in front of you again is because we haven't seen an increase in how much the sheriff is patrolling the parks. In just this month's report, he admitted he's patrolling exactly the same amount as he was last year, so there is no increase. We have talked to many of the municipalities and given them the option. If the municipalities feel that this agreement is in their best interest, they have signed on to the MOU. So Wauwatosa, West Dallas, Whitefish Bay, Shorewood, Greenfield have all signed the MOU saying this is in their best interest. So this option was left to municipalities to choose individually whether this is the best thing for them or not.
Thank you, Dr. Colton.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have said in various places that I'm rather agnostic on certain budget decisions, and my interest is in, do you get the job done? Here's my basis for judging that. Humboldt Park, Tippecanoe Park, Savlin Park, KK Sports Complex, Mitchell Airport Park, Wilson Park, and Copernicus Park. It's 7 parks out of the 12 in my district. I believe there's Jackson Park now as well. No, Jackson's in my district. Now, I have seen, and my constituents regularly see a very good response from the sheriff's deputies when they're needed, when they're called, and even sometimes when they're not called at friends groups meetings, they show up. This is, to me, this says it works. So that's my position. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Taylor.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up a little bit, I don't blame municipalities for saying, hey, I'll take $10,000. I mean, why wouldn't they? And one of my colleagues pointed out that Whitefish Bay was one of them, which Dr. Colton just said. One park. One. $10,000, great. All right, Franklin. Awesome. The Rock. RC Model Airplane Field, Oakley Trail, Franklin Park, Grobschmidt Park, Sports Complex, Oakwood Golf Course, Whitnall Golf Course, Ware Nature Center, Overlook Point. One park, $10,000, 34 square miles. How does that make any sense whatsoever?
Thank you, Supervisor. Anything else? Supervisor Schmidt.
We did discuss this a lot last year, and to try to go over, I think, trying to look at this. And of course, I think that, again, what it comes down to is we give a certain budget. We give this over to Milwaukee. They're overtaxed already. We have praised Milwaukee Police Department. I saw another article in today in the paper that, more crime they have to worry about. To think that Milwaukee can prioritize, and then, of course, it costs, we have to lay off, you don't have to lay off according to the budget, then we unfund, and somehow the sheriff has to come up with all this money but still do the same duties, basically. I think in Wauwatosa, our Wauwatosa police do a good job. I talked to Police Chief Weber. He said, sure, we'll take the $10,000. He said, we do our job, and I expect our municipal police to do their jobs. They're right there. They're going to be going through. The sheriff, is the regional. He has the big jobs. They sweep through the parks as part of their job, and as a part of looking at, you want to pay Milwaukee to do our job, and you want to, in essence, lay off a lot of deputy sheriffs. And I think and that's what it comes down for me. The fact is, we need to give the sheriff the budget he needs to get the job done so we all feel safe. And we want him at the lakefront. We want the region. We want that presence. And the big things, and when 9/11 comes down, they're there. By shifting, saying, well, they just have to come up with the money to, the $2 million here to change things, I don't think is very realistic, and I think that's why the majority of people have voted the way they have. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. I have cards from Inspector Schmidt, Superintendent Haithman, and Chief Judge Kremers. Inspector Schmidt.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. First of all, before I actually have three quick areas, one of which my partner will address after he gets his card posted regarding parks. But first of all, I do want to say how much I appreciate what the work that's been done on this amendment. It's obvious that a great deal of thought went into it. I really appreciate the comments that the supervisors have made this afternoon, and the restoration of the majority of things that we brought to the table at our original hearing have shown up on this super amendment. So I will call it a super amendment. We appreciate it and the work that's been done. There's two things that I'd like to point out, one specific to conflicting language in the amendment, which based on that either me or my partner are subject to abolishment, I figured I would point that out. On page one of the amendment, it states that, and you'll see the word crossed out and then unfunded underlined as far as the administrator and deputy administrator, I'm sorry, what they call facility administrator and the deputy inspector. On page two, paragraph two, instead of lining out abolished, it remains as abolished instead of unfunded. So it's just, I'm sure, just a typographical error, but it's conflicting with page one. So we would respectfully suggest that page two needs to have abolished crossed out and unfunded the same to match page one. In addition to that, the first the second paragraph under administration and management, the first sentence states that as of January 1, all deputy sheriff sergeant positions are replaced with an adequate number of deputy sheriff lieutenant. That does not match up with page two. So I'm not sure if I'm just reading it wrong but it appears that those two lines are in conflict. So just as a matter of pointing that out. Secondly, again, appreciating everything that was done on this amendment, there was one position that is left out of the narrative. I don't know if it's appropriate to state that position now or to potentially talk to someone off testimony regarding that position. It is an administrative one that is conspicuously absent. And there's no table associated with this amendment, and I'm wondering if this is the proper form to bring that up.
Speak.
All right. The one position that I would respectfully suggest be added after on page one where it says one FTE facility administrator inspector, to add in and one community relations coordinator positions are unfunded. Just add in that one position was left out. Of course, we prefer funded, but unfunded will do for today. Again, appreciating everything that was done on the amendment, Inspector Bailey is our subject matter expert on parks. I think which just to give him a couple of moments to discuss the statistic that was put out by Dr. Colton, I think he can shed some light on the specific amount of hours that literally were spent in the parks this year. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, before we move on, can I get a clarification?
Yes. Inspector Bailey, please. Supervisor Lipscomb wants a clarification.
On the three points. The first one I understood. The second one I did not follow.
On the community relations coordinator?
No, that was the third one.
That was the third.
That I got.
Okay, I don't.
What was the second one? The first one was the.
Oh, the conflicting language?
Yeah.
Okay, it basically goes page one under administration and management, first or second paragraph, that first sentence should be struck. Or it should be. It doesn't match up with the first.
Oh.
With page two under administration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's totally opposite.
I see. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, the reason why it reflects that way is because those are the way that we had separated it out. There were two separate actions that were being taken place. There were two different requests. So the first page just addresses those captain and inspector, sheriff inspector and deputy inspector positions. The second one where the language is stricken, that is the one that addresses the sergeant positions. So they were two separate actions that were being taken place, and that's why they seem to conflict.
Oh, I see. The language is repeated. And the changes are shown separately.
That's correct.
Okay. Supervisor Cohen.
And maybe just to repeat the question I had before you came to the table. Overall, do you think this reflects a better
yeah.
budget for your law enforcement needs than what the county executive presented to us?
Mr. Chairman, again, I appreciate that question. This is a tremendously improved version of what the county exec did present. And again, we're grateful for the thought and the positions that have been restored, and definitely replacing three of our specific divisions back to underneath the sheriff's purview. So yes, to specifically answer the question, this is a tremendous improvement. And is greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. In response to Supervisor Stamper's request for information in regard to his specific parks, and also with a nod towards the Chairman Cullen's request for similar information comparing 12 and 13 activities in the parks, I hold in my hand, as Johnny Carson used to say, a printout of all the calls for service in those various parks, which has been filed with the committee clerk and has also been filed with the individual supervisors. So all supervisors will receive that when they return to their offices this afternoon. It took a little while because it's not a graphic representation. It's not the visual representation the supervisor Romo West was referring to, where we can just plot an incident on a map. We actually created tables showing the major crime and response categories in all the individual parks comparing 12 and 13. Of course, if you have any follow-up questions, please reach back to us as well. And in relation to this concept that there's been no increase, obviously, in parks activity, based on a number that we were talking about last week in Judiciary, I have the numbers. It's also been filed with you and with the committee clerk showing Parks Patrol activity in 13 in relation to 12. This year, 36,000 straight time hours worked by TEU officers in the parks. That compares to 12,600 last year, a several hundred percent increase. When you add another 13,000 overtime hours, you end up with total hours worked by TEU of 50,260. Those are the hours that make up all the various activities that they engage in. Enforcement actions, 2012, a total of 3,500. 2013, 15,300, a 327% increase. Citations issued, 2012, 1,199. 2013, 4,077, a 240% increase. Arrests made in parks, 2012, 91. 2013, 260, a 186% increase. And that's the increase that the supervisors have made reference to hearing from your constituents, what you've seen in your parks this year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Inspector. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question. I did get that this morning. I think the clerk disseminated it. There were two different log files, something about the fire. Do I add those two reports together to get the totals for the year to date? So what was that two reports?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor, just so, we were on the Motorola system with a schedule to transition to Phoenix at some future point. So the sheriff's office was going to transfer to a different computer-aided dispatch or CAD system. The courthouse fire presented us with an opportunity in crisis to accelerate that schedule. So when we came back online, we came back online with a different dispatch system, a Phoenix-based system. So you would need to look at the two tables. You have a Motorola table and you have a Phoenix table. And at the top of the page, it lists the dates, and you'll see how the dates match up. Now, there's still one more bit of data, which is the bit of data that was captured by the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office when they literally were handling our dispatch immediately after the courthouse fire. We are still working on a methodology to add that back in, and anticipate having that done in the next 60 days.
And will the Phoenix system have the historical data, so in the future that you'll have year-to-year comparisons, or will that be lost?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It will, in the short term of these next couple of years, our law enforcement analytics division will need to still pull from the Motorola system, but we will be creating a bridge to bring that data into Phoenix. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Permit?
Yeah. Inspector Schmidt and Inspector Bailey, anything else?
I'll just conclude again. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to hear us. I trust that what's been presented, specifically in the parks, has been a help. And again, we would certainly respectfully request if you would add that language on the community relations coordinator. We would be very happy today, and we are happy today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And that could be done for a separate amendment. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question following up on page 6. This is probably for staff. The two full-time positions that will be sent to the district attorney's office. I see that the 5 positions were taken out for apprehension of inmates at the House of Corrections. And I just want to be clear, original unit that we were talking about, that in the executive budget that were transferred to the DA's office, are those now stayed with the Sheriff's Department, and is that unit still at the Sheriff's Department as a unit?
Ms. Jasmine Knight.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, that unit located within the Criminal Investigations Unit, yes, it will be retained by the Sheriff's Department. Originally, it transferred the funding equivalent for 5 sheriff deputies, and then there were 2 clerical positions that were transferred out. This one is restoring those 2 clerical positions and those 5 deputy positions back to the Sheriff's Department.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. I have a question maybe for the authors of the document to confirm, since that unit will be with the Sheriff's Office and there will be collaboration with the House of Corrections, was there a thought to have a written agreement included in this to figure out what services would be agreed upon by both parties so that we don't in the future have them both coming to us saying one party did not fulfill the requirements of the other?
Thank you, Supervisor. I'm looking. Yeah, they're supposed to be better. Wasn't there language in the amendment?
No.
Which would?
That was on the training academy.
That's training academy.
The written plan that they agreed to let the House of Corrections.
The amendment is silent, Mr. Chair, on the question of whether or not they, what agreement they would come to. I think, you know, the expectation is that they would function as adults and communicate, I don't like that the sheriff has essentially put on the additional requirement that there has to be an actual warrant, you know, before he'll go, but that seems to be the position he's taken, that he's not going to simply take communication from the HOC. On the other hand, the HOC has to actually actively ask him to go pick people up, and if that means they go get a warrant, then go get a warrant and attempt to use the resource. But failing to do that and then saying it's just broken and irreconcilable, I mean, both parties share some fault here, and they need to put more effort into it, I think. That's just my opinion.
And Judge Kremers gave the Judiciary Committee some explanation. Or maybe it was this committee. Things kind of coming together for me. Supervisor Bowen, then Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, if I still have the floor. I would request to just get confirmation, since we had the chance to talk to the Sheriff's Office, that the HOC staff would be able to approach the committee so we could clear that as well. I believe they are here. And I would like to hear their perspective on that part of
Superintendent Haefman, your card is next, sir.
I think it'd be more prudent to hear from the Sheriff's Department on that.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. First thing I'd like to speak out just shortly about the amendment to the Training Academy. I think that's a very workable solution. I appreciate it very much. It fulfills our needs. I think, again, it's an elegant way to try to work it out, and hopefully everything will work out for the best. The other reason I wanted to speak, and Supervisor Bowen brought it up too, would be on this absconder unit. If we could, if you could put language in that in the amendment that we could get agreement with the Sheriff's Department. We have asked the Sheriff's Department, both in telephone calls and emails, to pick up people where we had temporary warrants, and they declined to do so. They have stated that they will only pick them up once a warrant is issued by the court, which can take days or weeks or a week. I was corrected. In fact, at the Judiciary Committee, I said a month, but I was corrected by the chief judge and let know that it doesn't take a month to get a warrant. But the issue is we can get a temporary app request out the minute we think there's somebody that's absconding. The issue is the sheriff refuses to cooperate with that. I've been told that many times that the sheriff will not assist us in that process. I think one of the solutions would be to end this would be to put language in this amendment that says we enter into an MOU and he agrees to provide that services. And we'll gladly do that. We want to work it out. It's the same thing with the academy. I think we can work out any issues we have with the academy. We just want to share the space and have access to it.
Thank you, Superintendent. Super. I'll go.
It's fine. Whatever.
I'll go Romo, West, Haas, then Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to belabor the point, but I did speak with Inspector Schmidt this morning regarding this subject because the Chief Judge did bring his concerns to me regarding the warrant, the comments that was made by the sheriff regarding warrants. And so Inspector Schmidt did assure me that what the sheriff was saying was that when the sheriff ran the HOC, they went and got whatever temporary court injunction is needed to go and to retrieve people who have absconded. And so that is what the sheriff would need in place. Same thing, same process, even though the House of Correction is now in charge. So once the House of Correction has received and I can't remember the proper name of it, a temporary warrant?
Correct, it would be a temporary warrant.
Temporary warrant. So once that is in place, if the House of Correction notifies the sheriff that that is in place and he's happy to go, they're happy to go out and to retrieve these individuals as they did when they ran the House of Correction. So that was, it wasn't a misspeak on the part of the sheriff, but it was, he just left off the word temporary. So he is happy to follow the same process that's been in place with the temporary warrant, the same thing that he had to do when he was running the House of Correction. So that came this morning from Inspector Schmidt, and I have no reason to think that they wouldn't follow through on that. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was at our previous budget hearing, we had a discussion about the use of the training academy, and one week does not a proof make. That is, it's a little soon to have a firm understanding of if this agreement between the House and the Sheriff's Office for the use of the academy is being followed through with. But I was curious, Mr. Chairman, if the superintendent has seen follow through with this agreement, allowing the House to use the academy.
Yes, after the last, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, after the last meeting, we did have two classes we had a schedule. I contacted Inspector Schmidt, got approval to run those classes, and we did run those classes for HOC at the training academy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that's a good start. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Can I get some clarification on this issue of what a temporary warrant is? And would this be accepted by the Waukesha sheriff? I mean, if you believed one of your inmates had fled to Waukesha, could you send this, whatever this document is, to Waukesha? Would they accept that and go pick this person up? Because that seems to be there seems to be some definition disagreement here in terms of what are real warrants? What are these temporary warrants? Who issues them? Help me understand it.
Correct. I mean, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, one thing we talk about a warrant, normally we're talking about is something that has been issued by the court. You know, that it's been And then the other issue we're talking about,
an issue by the who?
By the court.
Okay.
A complaint is filed. We go through the district attorney's office. Then we have what's called a temporary app request, which is basically just goes out and authorizes a law enforcement agency to locate and pick this person up. And that's a 72-hour, generally speaking, that you have that window where you can use this. So if you're asking if this person was in Waukesha's jurisdiction, they would have a legal right to pick them up, hold them until we pick them up from Waukesha.
Okay. Maybe the Chief Judge can expound on it. But that seemed, in my conversation with the Sheriff, that there seemed to be some difference in terms of what he was saying he could legally act upon in terms of wanting, for lack of a better term, a real warrant versus this temporary warrant. I had a little different discussion, but and so I'm trying to understand that. Is there some greater difficulty in getting a court warrant that's the problem here?
Chief Judge Grimes.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, committee, if I could respond to this. I was happy to hear what Supervisor West said a minute ago. If Inspector Schmidt has agreed that the Sheriff's Department will operate in conjunction with the House of Correction in the same manner that they did when they had control of the House of Correction in terms of supervising people on electronic monitoring, then as a Chief Judge, I have no concerns. But on this specific issue of these warrants, what was happening all the time the Sheriff was running it was if somebody cut their bracelet, didn't come back to the House of Correction, didn't show up at work, in any manner the Sheriff's unit found out that someone wasn't complying with all the units, they would enter a temporary apprehension request into their system. That gave any law enforcement officer in the state the authority to pick that person up and hold them, as Mr. Hafeman said. And they did that without waiting to get a hold of the court, because it might be at night, it might be on the weekend, and it didn't take, you didn't have to have any court involvement at all to issue that apprehension request and go out and pick the person up. And the Sheriff's Department did a terrific job of doing that. I have no concern about their ability to operate an apprehension or absconder unit as they did for many years. The fact of the matter is, however, that once the Sheriff stopped putting people on electronic monitoring and the county board transferred the operational control of the House of Correction to the superintendent, the Sheriff, to my understanding and my experience, stopped picking up absconders. So when I heard the Sheriff say last week that he would do it if there was a court-ordered warrant, that is not the same thing. It is not how he had been operating his absconder unit for all those years that he had control of the House of Correction. So if he's saying through Inspector Schmidt to your colleague, Inspector West, that he'll perform in the same manner that he did when he controlled the House of Correction, that's great. I don't care who has the absconder unit. It doesn't matter to the court one bit. What I care about is that somebody is going out immediately upon being notified that someone is violating a rule and picking them up. That's the only way we can maintain integrity in the system and faith with my colleagues on the bench, law enforcement, and probation and parole if they happen to be someone on probation. So, as I say, I don't care who does it, but I care very deeply that it be done in a professional manner. And so I was gratified, if I may, Mr. When Supervisor Cullen last week had Inspector Schmidt up here and apparently solved the transfer of the training academy in one brief conversation with Inspector Schmidt, got him to agree that it would be done, and it's done. If we could do the same thing with this issue, you could save a lot of time and a lot of angst. And I'm happy to take any questions if you have any.
And Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, if I may, I mean, we did not go to the DA because we did not want to use the Sheriff's Department. We asked the Sheriff's Department to pick up people on these 72-hour apprehension requests. They refused. They said they would not pick them up. They would not assist us in any way possible. So that's why we had to go to the District Attorney's Office, which was a countywide police force that could go and pick up these individuals. We didn't want to overburden the local police departments, so we went with the DA's office. I'm with the judge. I have no issue who does it as long as it's being done. If the sheriff is willing to do it, that's great. We'll work with the sheriff's department. I would ask again that we could get it in writing so that everybody is in total agreement, not just verbally, because occasionally sometimes it never follows through to the end. But Again, I don't care who does it either. We just want to make sure that this process is being done.
I think that's great. Get it in writing. But I think you both have a role to play in getting an agreement here. And so unless you're telling me that you need the county board to tell you to sit down and get an agreement in writing, I mean, I think we've been pretty clear in what our message has been. But I don't think there's been enough effort. You haven't said to me that you've ever gone to court and gone and gotten a warrant and that he's refused to go pick those up. So, I mean, you're opening him to the defense that he has, which is that you're not going all the way. So, all right, I'm done. I apologize. Sure.
Chief Judge Grimmers.
With all respect, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Lipscomb, Supervisor Lipscomb, I don't think it's fair to suggest that it's the two of us that haven't been willing to cooperate or work with the third party here. We have asked, and Mr. Hafeman has asked. And it's not a question of, I'm not concerned about whether the sheriff will pick somebody up with a warrant, although I will tell you, we have thousands of warrants out in the system right now that the sheriff's not out looking for those people. That's the way our system operates. We issue warrants for any number of things, bench warrants, arrest warrants, and the only way they get picked up on those warrants is if some law enforcement officer, be it the sheriff or a municipal law enforcement officer, comes in contact with that person, they check, they see there's a warrant, and they arrest them on it. This issue has nothing to do with getting a court-ordered warrant. This issue has to do with picking someone up immediately upon them violating. And if we have to wait, if it's a Friday night that they violate, that they cut their bracelet off, and nobody, I don't care if it's the sheriff or the superintendent, can't get a warrant from the court until Monday, we should not allow that person to violate for 48 hours. So, you know, you want me to sign something saying that I'll cooperate with the House of Correction asking the sheriff to, on the basis of an absconder order, to pick somebody up? I'll sign it. And I heard Mr. Hafeman say he'll sign it too. What I haven't heard is say the sheriff say he'll sign it. That's the issue.
They're waiting to speak, Mr. Chair, but I mean, we seem to be only working it out at this table. So, I mean, there doesn't seem to be – there's been a lot of time prior to this.
Do you have a response, Inspector?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Inspector Schmidt. I will totally agree with what was said at our last meeting, that simply the issue was raised. We handled it in about a two-minute discussion, and it was settled. I made it very clear at the last hearing that all I need is a phone call from the superintendent telling me that they need to use the academy. They had it the next day after the phone call was made. Same deal with the apprehension. If we get the phone call of X sentenced inmate on Huber is out on the street, needs to get picked up, we will be out there, no questions asked, and you have my word on that, which if you want me to write it, I'd be happy to write it, but I'm publicly stating it in front of God and country, if you will. It's a done deal. Thank you.
Right. Follow-up question, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Inspector Schmidt, how is that different than the fact that we're being told they've asked before and it wasn't done? So is there an asterisk to that commitment? What's different?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, first of all, I have the utmost respect for the Chief Judge. Me and him have never discussed this issue to my knowledge. Secondly, I don't know who said what about what, so I'm not going to go in who said she said. I am telling you as of today, if I get that call, it's a done deal. I don't know who said what in the past.
Thank you.
Okay, Ollie.
Okay,
my work is done.
We have any other? Excuse me. Chief Judge Kremers did sign a card, and he came up to respond to something that was before us. Were there any?
No, that was the issue. That was Mr. Chairman. That was the issue I wished to speak on. I appreciate the Supervisor Lipscomb's involvement, and I'm absolutely satisfied with Inspector Schmidt's word, so works for me.
Thank you. Superintendent Hafeman, did you have anything else to add?
No, I have no further comments. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. We have a motion to approve Amendment 1A010. Any further discussion? Supervisor Jersey.
I'm just going to recall that we had assurances last year from the Sheriff's Department about cooperation and turning the House of Correction over. As soon as budget was done, all of that went out the window. So excuse me if I'm not going to get too excited about all of this cooperative talk that we're hearing currently. I'd like to know that these promises to work together are going to survive putting the budget together. And, you know, I can't help but notice that the sheriff philosophically does not agree with electronic monitoring and has a long track record of not cooperating with that. And I'm very concerned about taking the absconder unit out of the district attorney's office. It seems to be a much better fit now that we have a House of Correction under the superintendent to let the superintendent, along with the absconder unit in the DA's office, work on this. I'm very concerned about that. We spent a lot of time hassling through transfer of the House of Correction. You know, there is a fair amount of money that can be saved if we successfully do electronic monitoring. And the Sheriff's Department cost this board and this county a lot of money last year with lack of cooperation and all of the court battles that we fought through. And I believe this committee has a very short memory on this. I'd like to pass a budget without looking at personalities. John Doe Sheriff and John Doe County Executive, what are the appropriate roles that people play? And then put the departments in the correct funding position. But it does ignore the reality. So, I am concerned about the way we're doing the super amendment. I also think we're being very short-sighted here and with very short memories. Because we had a lot of cooperation until budget got put together last year with the Sheriff's Department. And then once the budget was done, the sheriff pretty much did his own thing. So I'm very concerned about this. Perhaps I will do a substitute amendment, but I think we're ignoring a lot of past history here. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, we have this amendment. The concerns of the sheriff's, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, were given to us with respect to positions. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Jersey.
No.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
8 ayes, 1 no. The motion to approve Amendment 1A010 is approved.